Well, Brother Gordon is going to stand before us now, and I ask for him your prayers and your consideration as he brings to us God's Word.
Thank you, Brother Jay. I'd like to say hello to each one of you. I'm sorry that I missed meeting with you during the week. Though my contract, I have to work out of town, so I'm unable to come and worship with you in the middle of the week. And I hope and pray that soon the Lord will bless me with a contract here locally so I don't have to do that anymore. When I made it a matter of prayer as to what I would was to stand before you and to deliver to you this day, the Lord gave me some thoughts. He gave me several different things that I hope and pray that I can cover this morning. I'm just going to tell you the list. David and Solomon, desires of our heart, our work in the last days, our heritage, our children, workings of the Spirit, our personal righteousness, and the trial of our faith. Those were the items that the Lord impressed upon my heart. When I immediately stood up after my prayer, those things came to mind, and I quickly wrote them down. And so I hope and pray that I can express those things as the Lord has given to me to give to you today. I would like to begin with a scripture verse in the book of Ether in the 5th chapter. It's speaking to the Gentiles, and I believe it's a very important scripture verse that we need to consider in our lives. I know I have considered it often, trying to understand the fullness of what was being said there. And that's the 29th verse of that 5th chapter. That's on page 748. The full thought is verses 27 through 29, but I want to focus on verse 29. It says, "Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith and hope and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness." And I kind of broke down those three elements, faith, hope, and charity, and I'm going to present a few of those. It's not the thrust of what I'm going to present this morning, but just to kind of review the desires of the Lord for us to understanding what those three things are and would be in our lives. In the first thing, it mentions faith, and so let's go to Hebrews in the 11th chapter and see what the Lord has to say about faith. We find that in the 11th chapter and verse 6, it's a very important thing for us to understand. Here it says in the 6th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's the beginning. That's really a starting point. But there's actually something before that, and I'm gonna touch upon that in a few pages down in my sermon here. But really, as the Lord had pointed out here, faith, hope, and charity, faith being the first, and we find that we have to exercise a faith in saying that we believe in God, we believe that He is, that He created us, that He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and that He plays, He has a role for us in our lives. That we're not just some insignificant thing on this world. Each one of us is very significant before God. In the book of Romans, there is a verse there that I want to just rehearse with you. It's in the 5th chapter of Romans. And it'd be Romans 1 through 5. 5, 1 through 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So that leads right into that next segment that we read in the book of Ether, faith and hope. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so here Paul is helping us to understand that transition in our lives that we go through as we exercise that faith. We exercise our faith, and there comes a trial to see if that faith is going to withstand, that we truly will hold to that truth that God is the God who created all things, and His Son Jesus Christ, who brought salvation to us. And we find that as we go through life and these tribulations that come within us, and as we look to our faith and have patience, then we grow, don't we? But if we falter, we go backwards, right? But the whole intent is, as we exercise our faith, and then through these tribulations, it helps us in working through those experiences, and we grow, and we become stronger. We become stronger in our faith, where our faith is more focused on the hope that is down, that's ultimately there, which is eternal salvation with the Lord. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that love of God, isn't that charity? Isn't that the pure love of God? That's the definition of charity. So it rolls right into that third segment there. Let's go to, in the book of Moroni, in the 7th chapter, in the 48th verse. We'll move on to hope here. Verse 48. It says here, that's on page 767, "Wherefore, if a man hath faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope." So as someone would ask you, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And you have faith, you say, yes, I do. So what is it that you're hoping that in that faith? You know, you're hoping for eternal life, that you may dwell with God, that you might have salvation. That is your hope. But if you don't have faith that that's going to be a part of your life, then what are you going to hope for? You know, and you see how connected that is. Because if you're living in this life without hope, where's your faith? And would you not be in a great despair, thinking that the world is left to the things and the devices of mankind on this earth? How horrible that would be. How depressing that would be. That my hope would be in that man would somehow fix everything. That would be a very depressing thought. So it's very important for us that if we exercise our faith, that it strengthens our hope. It gives us that hope in our life. It gives us purpose. It helps us to understand why we're here. Give us the strength to continue on. In the book of Philippians, there's a verse of scripture there that I'd like to go to. It's in the third chapter of Philippians. The 11th through the 15th verse here. Apostle Paul is speaking. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, this is speaking of Paul's hope, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, for forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I love this verse of Scripture that Paul has because it helps me to understand his personality, his hope, his faith. We know he was a man that had great faith and he exercised it. And yet, here we find that he says, I count not myself to apprehend it. And that's very important for us to understand. Because that would mean that he's always looking within himself to be able to improve himself by the power and grace of God in that work that God has given him. Which in turn would grow where he can grow spiritually. Continuing, like he says, I press toward that mark for that prize. So he never forgets that. And so that strengthens his hope and also his faith concerning those things that he believes. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians here in the 5th chapter. There's another verse of Scripture I'd like to bring to your attention. Here we find the 8th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. This should be a familiar Scripture verse here. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. If you notice, there's those things are all three of those things that were mentioned in the book of Ether. The breastplate of faith and of love, which is the charity, and then the helmet, the hope of salvation. All three things coming together. And so, and the reason why I'm just bringing these to your attention is that you see that the canon of Scripture is the same. Those things that were taught, that we find are being taught in the Book of Mormon, they were taught also in the Scriptures in the Stick of Judah. And they're very important for us to be mindful of how important they should be in our lives as we grow. Here we find also the charity. And I'd like to go to Moroni in the 7th chapter again in verses 49 through 53. Again, familiar verses of Scripture here. Well, let me read them to you. That's on page 767. That's Moroni in the 7th chapter, starting with verse 49. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly in heart. I want you to remember that little verse of Scripture there. Shall be meek and lowly in heart, because that's going to be a very important thing that I'm going to bring up later on. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is accepted before God save the meek and the lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, and beareth all things, and believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it, at the last day it shall be well with him. I want to stop there for a minute. And when you look at all these things that charity is, it is all those things that are not seemingly part of our human nature, isn't it? It's those things that we find difficult. You know, each one of us, we can go down there and say, well, boy, I really struggle with this, or I really struggle with that. It's those characteristics of the human flesh that God looks to us to overcome. And that's all part of charity, because it's how we react with others that are around us, how we react in this world, how we show ourselves to others, and how we reflect the things of our God. Now, the very important thing that we must understand, and that's in verse 53. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when ye shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. And so one of the key things in this scripture verse is that we have to pray with all the energy of our heart for that charity. It's not something that's going to come natural in your life. You must pray for it. You must seek it. You must desire it. And that comes by way of the power of the Holy Ghost working in you, in your lives, bringing these characteristics to play in your life. When you are prone to do something in the flesh with one of these characteristics, the Spirit is there and it constrains you from doing that. And you react differently. And it's something we have to actively be pursuing in our life and applying to us in our life. It isn't something that's going to come naturally. Now, to the topic that I put at the top of my page, filled with desire. Because I believe desire is the key to the beginning of all three of those things, faith, hope, and charity. Because if you don't have the desire, then none of those things will be a reality in your life. Okay? There's a verse of Scripture that will hopefully at least start you thinking down that path. And it's in Proverbs. And you can find it in Proverbs in the 13th chapter. And it is the 12th verse. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Now you have to stop and think about what he's saying. Remember I said earlier, if you don't have hope and the things that you believe concerning the gospel and concerning God and the things of God, then this is what it's speaking of. It maketh the heart sick because you have no hope. Because the only thing you have that is before you would be things of the world. But it says, "But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Now, I don't know if you remember in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Alma, in the 19th chapter, there is, the 16th chapter, there's a little progression concerning those who would exercise faith in the very beginning. And that's on page 423. and it speaks to this scripture verse here. In verse 149 it says, "And now as I said concerning faith, that it was not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words." Now let's drop to 151. "But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if you can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you." There. That's the key part. You know, that's the spark that starts our faith. "Even until you believe in a manner that you can give place for a portion of my word." A person will go nowhere in understanding the scriptures or growing in faith without that first spark of desire, of wanting to do that. Desire is very important. And I want to emphasize that because sometimes we may want to put desire away. You know, because thinking it's a human trait. And it is to an extent. God has given us our free will agency to make a choice in our life. And so with that, he's given you that element of desire to choose which direction you want to go. So I want you to understand that to have desire in your heart for good is a good thing, okay? And you should allow that desire to grow and work the good work of God. And that's what it was saying here in Proverbs. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So that when that desire goes, that spark of desire that comes within your heart. I remember when I was very young and the Lord was helping me to understand these things. I was just filled. I was so excited, you know. That desire, it brought excitement, you know, to my life. And I wanted to know more. And really that desire has never really left, because I still have that in my heart. And I want you to understand that it's a good thing. God likes that and He can work with that. Because you've made a choice to follow after Him. It is the beginning of our faith. In the book of Mosiah, the ninth chapter, it talks about that. Here in the ninth chapter, verse 40 and 42. Here that's on page 259. Starting with verse 40 of the ninth chapter, Mosiah says, "Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even unto death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desire of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord? As a witness before Him that ye have entered into the covenant with Him, that ye will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you." And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is the desire of our hearts." And how true it is that God will work with our desire as long as it's in the vein of His plan. Okay. He will honor that desire. Let's go to 3 Nephi in the ninth chapter. And let's see, verse 24. Here 9:24, we find excuse me. The disciples there in the New World were before Jesus Christ, and they were praying. And here, verse 24 of the ninth chapter, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, He came unto His disciples, and behold, they did still continue without ceasing to pray unto Him, and they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire." How many times have you felt that when you've been in prayer? Have you felt that when you have been in earnest prayer with the Lord and you become filled with desire for His will to be done in whatever thing that you are praying about? You know, the Lord wants you to feel that desire in your heart. He honors that, and it is a good thing. Let's go to. I want to help you to understand how the Lord will reward that thing that was called desire. Obviously, we see the elements of desire when it's a true desire to follow after Him, that then it starts our faith and it works through that process of faith, hope, and charity. God is able to work with us. Why? Because our desire becomes the will of God. We are now humble, and that's where that humility comes in, you know. Our desire is for God to work that in us, and not in a vain thing, and not a thing of the world. Here in the eighth chapter, 3 Nephi, in the eighth verse, we find a good example of the Lord blessing blessing the people because the desire in their heart was a thing that God recognized and honored. Here, 3 Nephi 8:8, it says, "My bowels," this is Jesus Christ speaking to him, "my bowels are filled with mercy, for I perceive that ye desire that I should show unto you what I have done unto your brethren at Jerusalem. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you." Now, I want you to understand that there is nothing wrong with us desiring to see those things like healings and those the displays of the gifts of the Spirit. There is nothing wrong with that. And it's not asking for a sign. Now, you can desire and ask for a sign, and then that would be wrong. But their desire in their heart was to have the same kind of thing given to them as those who were in Jerusalem at that time. And that desire worked with their faith, in conjunction with their faith, and God honored it. All right? God honored that. And so I want you to understand that those things can work in our lives, in this local, in our spiritual lives. And it's a desire that is not wrong, as long as you're not using it as a tool to be as a sign, to prove something. Because if you see this here, it was according to their faith. They had sufficient faith that God would grant that unto them because of their pure desire for God to work that in their life. Okay? It's important to see the difference there. There's another good example. It's in the 13th chapter of 3 Nephi. And this, I think, is interesting because here we are. The 13th chapter of Nephi, a lot of things have taken place here among with the Lord working with the people. They had already been baptized. The disciples had been chosen. He had taught them. He had come and gone several times, we find. And now we're coming towards the end of this record. I don't want to yell. So we find that we're coming to the end of this record here. And in the 13th chapter, 3rd Nephi, I find it interesting because the Lord, now he turns to his disciples. And we find this in the 11th verse here of the 13th chapter. And he says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he saith unto his disciples." Now he's talking specifically to his disciples. Now remember, they had already, not only were they baptized, but they had baptized many others. They had partaken of the emblems of life several times, okay? And the Lord had done many mighty works among them at this time, as we read earlier. And now he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Now, isn't that odd? Because I find in the Book of Mormon that in 2 Nephi, in the 13th chapter, you find it says the gate is repentance and baptism. And yet, now the Lord is speaking very directly to the disciples, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it, but wide is the gate, and broad the way, which leads to death. And many there be that travel therein." And this next part is not in, you will not find this in your Bible, "until the night cometh wherein no man can work." I think that interesting that the Lord is emphasizing the narrowness of the gate. I think it has a lot to do with that rod of iron and enduring to the end. I truly believe that. And then we go to verse 12, which is where I was headed for here. "And it came to pass when Jesus had said these words, he spake unto his disciples one by one, saying unto them, What is it that ye desire of me after that I am gone to the Father?" Now what a beautiful blessing. The Lord asking him, what is it that you desire of me? Now if the Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever, I truly believe that the Lord looks at us And he would ask the same thing. And that we would be very cautious in what how we would answer, no different than as we read through this account, that they were as well. They had given it thought. The Lord had perceived their hearts. They were at a point where the Lord knew that they would not ask something that would be wrong, and that their desire was holy, something that the Lord would want in their life. I want you to think about it in your lives, that you consider that in your prayer. Because I think it's very important that we express ourselves to our God in prayer, those desires that are true, those desires that God would instill in our heart, that He might bless those desires in whatever way He sees fit. And so that's important to understand that we don't put him in a box and say, you know, that you tempt him, but that you express your desire. And if you remember those things in charity, what charity is, your desire would reflect that pure charity of God. We find in the book of Helaman, in the third chapter, and this would express, hopefully, what I'm trying to say, that you can understand that how the Lord thinks as we apply that desire. In the 113th verse of the third chapter of Helaman, you find that on page 577. I'll read 113 through 116. Here we find Nephi had been endeavoring to fulfill the word of the Lord and bringing the word of the Lord to the Nephites, and he was struggling because they were rejecting it. And so it says, "And it came to pass that Nephi went his way towards his own house, pondering upon the things which the Lord had shown unto him." He had been in prison at the time, and he was given a prophecy concerning why he was in prison, because he was being accused of killing somebody that he had not. Anyhow, he was released because of the prophecy. But he is released and he's walking home. "And it came to pass as he was thus pondering, being much cast down because of the wickedness of the people of the Nephites." See where his heart was? His heart was toward the work among those people. "Their secret works of darkness and their murderings and their plunderings and all manner of iniquities. And it came to pass, as he was thus pondering in his heart, behold, a voice came unto him, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done. For I have beheld how thou hast with unwearingness declared the word which I have given unto thee, unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but have sought my will and to keep my commandments." His desire was toward doing the will of God among those people. "And now because thou hast done this with such unwearyingness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will." His desire was the perfect will of God. And the Lord saw that. And the Lord blessed that. And that's the important thing that I'm trying to help you to understand. That God blessed his desire, his heartfelt desire, his prayer, and all of his motivation. God blessed him in that. Now, there's another example, and it has to do with, you remember earlier in one of Paul's writings, it says being perfect, you know. And that's a hard thing, because when we think about being perfect, that is that we struggle with that. And And I hope that you can understand what the Lord is trying to ask us to be, because obviously we are in the flesh and we're prone to fail. But that where this perfectness comes from, I hope you understand that it comes through by the grace of God with our desire to follow after God and His commandments, that we might be perfect before God in our desire. Now, let's go to in 1 Kings in the 11th chapter. Here we find the writings here. It's this transition that went from King David and then to Solomon, his son. And in this 11th chapter of 1 Kings, in the 4th verse, there's a statement that is made here. And we need to look at it. Here in the 4th verse it says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart and after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Well, we know in the Book of Mormon that the seed of Joseph was to be separated from his brethren because of the wickedness of David and Solomon and the many wives and things. We understand that. But we also know that the Lord had a love for David, and the Lord blessed David and his house. But we also find that the Lord condemned Solomon because he was not perfect. Now, David was far from being perfect. But the thing that the Lord was focusing on, that could see in his heart, that David had a true desire to follow God. Even though he tripped and he fell, I don't know how many times. One of the times you can read in 2 Samuel in the 24th chapter in the 10th verse, you find that David went on with his pride to the number Israel, you know, and the Lord said, "No, don't do that." And he did it anyhow. And then the Lord said, "Why'd you do that?" And Solomon, David's heart smote him. That when the Lord addressed it, that he felt that condemnation to the point where it troubled him, and that he knew that he was on the opposite side of God, and he wanted to correct that. He wanted to make amends. His true desire was to be with the Lord and to make that change. And that's what the Lord was, that's what it's saying here, that David was perfect in the sense that he would listen to God. When he did something wrong and the Lord chastened him for it, he was humbled. And he made that change. Now we find it in the case of his son, and that was the comparison, Solomon. If you go down just a few verses of Scripture here in the 9th chapter, in the 9th verse of the 11th chapter, it says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." The Lord appeared unto Solomon twice saying, "You know, you're doing wrong in my sight by worshiping other gods." But it had no effect. "And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded." And that's what made him not perfect before God. Because his heart would not be pricked when the Lord chastened him. And that's important for us to understand. That has everything to do with the desire that's in our heart. A desire to do good. A desire to follow God. Does it mean you're going to be perfect in this life? No. Is there going to be mistakes made? Yes. But by the grace of God, when He comes and says, "You didn't do it right," your heart is pricked and you're humbled. And that desire kicks in and says, "Lord, forgive me. Help me." And God will honor that. And He'll call you perfect because of that desire. No different than than David and many others that we find in the Scripture. It's very important for us to understand those things. Our heritage. I spoke a little bit about that last week. Remember that Great Commission that we find in the Book of Commandments? in the 59th chapter, speaking specifically to us as a people, that we were to carry this gospel into all the world, that being Gentiles would be nursing mothers and fathers to those of the world, you know, that there would be temporal sacrifices that we're going to have to make, which we are doing. But they're going to be greater as time goes on. There's going to be spiritual sacrifices as well. Those who will be called into that service, though they be few, they'll be called into that service that they might work with their mites. It's a very important thing to understand that heritage that we've been handed and the responsibility that we've been given as we carry the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph to all the world as a witness and a testimony of the things of God. In the book of Peter, in the second chapter, I want you to remember these words of Peter. Because I believe they're not idle, and they pertain to us in this day. Here in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And he's speaking to the Gentiles, you and I. There was, now the thoughts concerning our children. Reunion, 1998, kind of a long time ago, huh? Our sister Joanne, she had a testimony. Jane Ann. She had drawn a parallel of riding in a boat, those in the church, and floating down the river of life. You know, she spoke about that in a testimony that those of the body of Christ was in this particular boat and was floating down the river of life and kind of taking the knocks as they come. You know, you can vision that if you were seeing raft trips or whatever. You're pretty well floating down this river, and you're going to, whatever is before you, that's what you're going to be confronted with, and it'll affect that boat in its travel. But there was something that was added to her testimony. And what happened? Did I lose something? There was that Brother Jay had offered, and that was that. Oh, yeah, here it is. Brother Jay offered. He said, "Not he wanted his children to not only sit in the boat, but to row it." You know, that's what he said, and it's very intuitive if you think about it, because now, not only are we in the boat and we're going down this river, but we have some ability to control where we're going. And that has everything to do with our desire and how we're being directed of God into the path that we're going. It has everything to do with that. And Jay is not alone in that desire, you know. We, the parents of the young people here, we've prayed many times for our people, our children, that the Lord would touch their hearts and work in their lives, that they would have that true desire to follow God. And I believe the Lord has heard our prayers. I believe the Lord has heard our prayers, and their hearts are pricked where they do want to row that boat. And I thank God for that. I praise God for that. We can go to Psalms, the 127th verse. Here in the 127th verse, 27th chapter, 3rd verse. Lo, the children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I praise God for those things. I praise God that he works in the lives of the children of men, that he hears prayers, and more importantly, that he sees the desires in our heart, and he blesses those desires. He gives us those desires in our heart when they are right before him. But like in all things, like I said before, no different than that boat going down the river, that there's turbulence and those different things that come in the journey of life when you get bounced around. And sometimes you make the right decision, sometimes you don't. But with that true desire, the Lord can work with that and help you to overcome it and to make you strong. Here in Peter, in the first chapter of Peter, 1 Peter, first chapter, verses 7 through 9. Well, 6 also. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And that brings us right back to those words that we find in the book of Ether. Faith, hope, and charity bringeth the fountain of all righteousness. I hope and pray that I brought some understanding to what God would have you to know and hear this morning. I pray that in those trials that you don't get discouraged, but that you present your desires before God, ask that they might that he might direct you in those desires, that they might be his desire to fulfill in your heart and in your life. May God bless you in those endeavors.
Would you please bow your heads? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that you deal with us as your sons and daughters. We are thankful, Father, for your kindness to us, for leading us and guiding us onward. We pray now, Lord, that indeed our hearts shall be pure before you and our desires to serve you complete and whole. We pray, O Lord, that indeed you will accept our gratitude for the message of this hour, for the goodness that is contained within it. We're thankful, Father, for your words. We're thankful for the way in which it has come and the way it was organized before us. We pray, O Lord, that indeed our faith and our hope and our charity will be right before you, and that we should be prepared to meet your Son when he comes. We should be prepared when we are brought before his presence to be like him, we pray. Now we ask these favors. We pray that you'll be with us in our wayward ways and our weaknesses and imperfections, that you will continue to guide us and to direct us and to correct us, to help us, to strengthen us in this way. Again, we are thankful for all what you have done. We pray it even in Christ's holy name. Amen.